preparation for the fall. So many things need to be done, and just continue. We covet your continued prayers for the school. Our text this morning takes us to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 that says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Can we say that all together, please? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this weekend. And Lord, we're thankful for the sacrifices. Freedom comes at a cost. And Lord, we're thankful for the price that was paid so that we could enjoy the freedoms we have today. And Lord, I pray that we would take that serious. We can lose our freedoms. And so, Father, I pray today that as your word goes forward, that you would direct my heart and my thoughts, and that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm speaking in English, but I'm thinking in Spanish. So if you are bilingual or trilingual or what do you call it, quadlingual, I don't know, maybe you understand a little bit. But our text this morning is very appropriate for Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day is when we pause to honor those peacemakers who didn't make it home. Over 5,800 troops in Vietnam alone. Celebrated historian Will and Ariel Durant in their book Lessons of History, write in their chapter on history and war, "War is one of the constants of history and is not diminished with civilization and democracy. And in the last 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have not seen war. God made this world without war. In the Garden of Eden, God created the perfect place of peace. The fall of the angels and the fall of man have caused this world to be without peace. This isn't God's fault. He never wanted war. He wants peace. God is not at war with anyone. God never declared war on Satan. God never declared war on man. God never declared war on fallen angels. Satan declared war on God. The fallen angels set themselves against God, and man declared war on God. As long as Satan and man fight against God, there's going to be war. Peace was lost on this earth the moment Satan and man set themselves against God. Peace is lost the moment a person sets himself against God. The scriptures end with what the world will look like when Jesus comes back. A place where there is no more war, a place of perfect peace. The word peace appears over 400 times in the Bible. It says we can have peace with God and with man. Every war can be traced back to the selfishness of man, the disobedience of man. But the Bible says it's possible to have peace and to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." In the first place, I'd like for us to look at the person of peace, the person of peace. You may remember a popular bumper sticker back in maybe the 80s, 90s, that said, "No God, no peace." N-O God equals N-O peace. But it didn't conclude there, because it says, "No God, no peace." K-N-O-W, God, no God. K-N-O-W, peace. The Bible is a book of peace. God is a God of peace. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Judges 6:24, the Bible says, "Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which is God is my peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," and say it with me, "the Prince of Peace." God has chosen to reveal himself through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. He was prophesied in the Old Testament, as we just read in Isaiah 9:6, but he was also announced in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace earth, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There are three levels of peace that Jesus Christ brings. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the first one is peace with God, Romans 5:1, peace with God. The second is peace of God in Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7. Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's no longer at war with God. He's at peace with God. And the Bible says when we bring our prayer requests to God, he gives us peace. Are you at peace with God today? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you placed all your faith on him? And then, believer, are you at peace with? Do you have the peace of God? Are you constantly bringing your prayers, your supplications, your thanksgiving before God? So there are three levels of peace that Jesus Christ brings: peace with God, the peace of God, and then the third is peace on earth. Psalm 72, verse 7 says, "In his days shall the righteous flourish and an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth." You know, there's a reason why this world doesn't have peace. It's because they don't have Jesus. There's a reason why you can't find peace on earth. It's because they want to keep Christ out of everything. But Christ came to bring peace. The person of peace is Christ. And until you know Christ, you cannot know peace. Until you know Christ, you cannot know peace in your marriage. And until you know Christ, you cannot know peace in your family. And until we know Christ, we cannot have peace in this land. But there is a process of peacemaking. You might say, "I know Christ. I'm a Christian. I have the peace of God. I have peace with God. But how can I be a peacemaker? How can I truly make peace with the circumstances in my life?" Well, it starts with God. It starts with knowing Christ. We must know the Prince of Peace. We go back to the beginning. You have to know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Can you say without a doubt that he is my Savior today? If you can't say that without a doubt, we would love to help you find Jesus Christ today. But if we're going to have peace, if we're going to be peacemakers, we must have the wisdom of God that comes from only knowing God. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3 and verse 17, please. James chapter 3 and verse 17. The Apostle James says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, one of the reasons people live in turmoil and in constant conflict with others is because they are not at peace with themselves. The reason they go from company to company, from job to job, from church to church, from relationship to relationship, is because they don't have the peace within themselves. But James says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Jesus said, blessed are the pure. Then peaceable. You see, it starts with purity. Purity in your heart. And then peace. Peace with others and peace with God. And he says there in verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And until you know the peace of God, you can't share the peace of God. We cannot be peacemakers until we have the peace of God in our hearts. So we must know the Prince of Peace. That's where the process begins. But then secondly, we must resist the enemies of peace. The enemies of peace. What are some of the enemies of peace? Well, first is the lust of the flesh. James 4, you're there in James chapter 3. If you go to James 4, and we'll start at verse 1. He says there, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of peace is the lust of the flesh. James is saying that the reason there are so many, that there's so much fighting and warring and conflict is because of the lust in the hearts of man. It's within our hearts. Can I say this? Having a friend in Christ is more important than winning an argument. Did you hear it? Keeping the peace at home is more important than deciding whose turn it is to take the trash out. Having peace in our lives and with others is vital. And yet we sacrifice it for some of the most mundane things. But the reason we don't have peace, James is saying, is because of the lust of our hearts. The Bible says there are lusts in our members. We want to be right. Right? Who likes to be wrong? Raise your hand if you like to be wrong. Nobody. We all want to be right. We all want our way. And the flesh wants its way. It wants to prove a point. We won't let it go. We want our own selfish way. And that's what James is getting to. That's the heart of what James is saying there. We must put aside our flesh and our personal desires. It's more important to have peace at home. It's more important to have peace at church. It's more important that God gets the glory and not our flesh. You know, I'm sure we could get upset at all the people who've done us wrong. Right? We could just start thinking about everybody who's conned us, has done wrong to us. And we can live in that state of defeat. Or we can choose the path of victory, the path of peace. So in second place, the second enemy of peace is sowing discord. Those who are always embroiled in controversy. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, please. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Here's what he says here. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord. What's the next word? Hate. Well, I thought he was a God of love. Yeah, you go to many churches and all it is God's love. But here he says the six things the Lord hates. That gets my attention. There are things that the Lord hates. How many of you believe that God is for peace? Raise your hand if you think God is for peace. If God is for peace, then he's going to be against that which hinders peace. Right? For example, how many of you are for a garden? I know, yeah, you're for a garden, right? But if you're for a garden, you have to be against weeds. How many have already pulled weeds this season? Well, I can't. There's a lot of weeds here in Alabama. Man, weeds I had no idea were growing up in our yard. We tried to start a garden. And then because of circumstances, it got buried by other stuff. We have one cabbage growing. One cabbage. One single cabbage, and we're protecting that cabbage. We want to make some coleslaw, right, Grandma? But I believe God is for peace. And if God is for peace, he's going to be against that which hinders peace. And so as we read this proverb, it says, these things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And then read the last one with me, please. And he that soweth discord among brethren. I believe God is for peace. But he's against that which hinders peace. That means that God is going to be against discord. If we are for peace, then we can't be for discord. There are two major enemies of peace. The lust of the heart and sowing discord and participating in discord by speaking and participating, you're not helping anybody's peace. How can we be peacemakers? What's the process? We must have the Prince of Peace. We must resist the enemies of peace. But thirdly, we must yield to the Spirit of Peace. The Spirit of Peace. If we are to be peacemakers, as Jesus instructs us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You know, I can't think of another descriptive characteristic of Christians, of what Christians should be. You've got seven in the blessed there, in the Beatitudes. And Jesus could have left this one out. Jesus could have not mentioned this one, but in describing what his kingdom should be like, in describing what believers should be like, in describing us as his followers, he says, peacemaker. Your life should be characterized by making peace with others. How do we do that? We must yield to the Spirit of Peace. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what's the next one? Peace. You know, I found out that a Christian who's constantly upset and irritated, constantly rattling their mouths, constantly fighting with others, is someone who's not filled with the Spirit of God. You know, people that go around and everybody's against them. And life is constantly in turmoil and unrest. They just lack. They're lacking the filling and the power of the Spirit in their lives. Someone might say, I can't live at peace with her anymore. I can't live in peace with that situation. Yes, you can. You can have the peace of God if you're filled with the Spirit. You know, the Christian life isn't meant to live without the power of the Spirit. It's natural. It's natural to not be a peacemaker. That's the natural thing. But the Bible says there is a different path. There is the path of victory, the path of peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble, someone said, but peace is the presence of God. You know, our job as Christians isn't to go out and look for a good fight. How many of you guys love watching a good fight? Come on, we all do. We love a good fight. We stop and look. Who's got the first blow in there? Who's backing it up and maybe coming back with the 1-2 punch? I mean, stadiums are filled with people who are watching fights. The MMA fighters and all of that, videos online. I mean, you could watch hours and hours. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But our job as Christians isn't to go out and look for a good fight. But how can we help someone who needs peace? Have you thought about that? How can you be a blessing and bring peace to someone's life today? How can you be a conduit of the gospel of peace today? Not how can I be a troublemaker? I can hear my wife saying to our children when she hears them arguing and fighting about something, are you being a peacemaker or a strife maker? True believers should strive to prevent strife. We should be menders. We should be healers of breaches. We should be those who pour oil on wounds and reconcile those who are estranged. We should be characterized by those who right wrongs and keep the peace in the bond of love. Such are the followers of Christ. By nature, we are at war with God and man. Peacemaking isn't natural. It's not easy. It's difficult, and many times it's painful. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It's a fruit of the Spirit. How do I know that the peace of God is working in my life? How do I know that God's peace is evident in my life? What is the product of peace? Well, if you turn back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says here, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What he's saying is when you are filled with the Spirit of God and walking in prayer, you will have the peace of God in your heart. When there is peace in your heart, you will be at peace with others. If there is war in your heart, if there is war in your heart, you will always look for a point of difference with others. I mean, you could agree on 99% of everything, but you'll look for that 1% if there's war in your heart. But if there is peace in your heart, you will look for a point of agreement with others. We live in a fallen world. I'm not trying to paint some pie in the sky kind of theology, but this is straight from God's word. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus said these words. It can be done. It is possible. Romans 12 verse 18 says that we can be at peace with our enemies. He says, if it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's difficult. Sometimes you have to part ways with people. That's hard. But Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 15, he says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. We should never seek conflict or be responsible for it. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." A child of God will reflect, he's saying there, a child of God, reflect his Father's attributes. People will say, "There goes a child of God." So who should be a peacemaker? Every Christian is called to be a peacemaker, like God our Father is a peacemaker. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. I pray you would use it in our lives today. I pray, Father, that we would consider the words of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a defining characteristic of those who are to be followers of Christ. We are to be peacemakers. Those who mend, those who bring healing, reconciliation, those who pour oil on the wound. Father, I pray that you would bless your people and that we would show forth our Father's attributes, our Father's character. You are a God of peace. And you desire that we be people of peace. So we pray your blessing, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.